We're heading to the Stanley Vincent Gates hotline, where Joe Rexroad from The Athletic is standing by. Joe, it's not the happiest of Florida weeks, day two getting ready for the Gators coming to town. But I think Vol fans might perk up towards the end of the week, especially if there's some more Harrison Bailey buzz throughout the rest of this practice schedule.
Yeah, Heather, I mean, to me, that's the thing that you got to do now if you're Tennessee, and that's the one thing that I think your fan base can look forward to here is actually getting a chance to watch Harrison Bailey play, get a full game, get multiple full games, get all the reps, get everything poured into him, and see what he can do. And I think that's important. I think it's important for fans. I think it's important for this program moving forward. I think it's important for recruits even. I mean, I think, you know, there's not much you can salvage out of this season at this point other than don't lose to Vanderbilt. But, you know, I think if you can demonstrate some good things from Harrison Bailey and let him grow a little bit, there's at least something people can hold on to.
What percentage chance do you think there is that Bailey is the starter against Florida, assuming he's not the quarterback that's in quarantine right now?
Right. Man. You know, it's hard. I mean, it's just hard. Like, I do understand how Jeremy Pruitt has gone about this, and I understand why it's been difficult. The bottom line is, in this job, I mean, you have to be 100% on what player at every position just gives us the best chance right at this moment to win. But I've got to think Jeremy Pruitt has to be looking a little bit more big picture now. So I'm going to say, like, I think it's like 75%. I really do. That he gets this start. I think it makes sense. And, again, the Vanderbilt situation, had that game been the game last week, I thought it was a really interesting case because I think Tennessee can beat Vanderbilt as long as it doesn't screw it up. And I'm not saying Garantano can't screw up a game. He can. But I could see the impulse to say, you know what, still go with the senior, hand off, run the ball, let's get out with a win. I think now the way the schedule falls, I think it should be Harrison Bailey the rest of the way. And I, frankly, I do think it will be. I'm not obviously 100% on that.
If it is Harrison Bailey, what will you be looking for? What do you think will stand out to fans as, I mean, a couple of weeks ago when he was playing, what was it, in the Arkansas game he went in? It's been so long now, it's hard to remember. But it did not look like there was much trust at all from the coaching staff. So what can Tennessee fans maybe expect from him?
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, well, of course, that was just bizarre because then instead of take a field goal you need, you have him throw his first pass on that fourth down, you know? So it was like lack of trust, but then also like too much trust in one spot. But look, I mean, I think what you want to see is the offense to function as it's designed. And you want to see pre-snap. You want to see is he noticing things? Is he calling any protections or any checks? Of course, that stuff is going to be stripped down, scaled back from what Garantano has had. I think in this offense, it's very clear. It takes time for a quarterback to be able to do all those things. This is not a look-to-the-sideline offense like so many in college football. But you'd like to see some pre-snap recognition from him and some command out there. And then just, you know, you want to see him unleash his abilities. I mean, I thought his last time out, he had a good drive. He showed some good things. But I know that there's a lot more physical ability in there. So you want him to be heady, make plays, show some athleticism. And, I mean, look, I just think a big problem with this Tennessee offense, and maybe it's the design, the scheme, whatever, like just get the ball in the hands of some of these playmakers. This offense has playmakers. The numbers, the dreadful numbers, don't reflect to me the talent level of the offense, which is on the coaches. It's also on the quarterbacking. But, like, just distribute the ball. Be a point guard. Get it out. Get it in the hands of some of these guys. Jalen Hyatt, you'd like to see him more. Obviously, their backs are doing great, but just get the ball out, let them make plays, and look like an offense, because it's been really hard to watch.
What's the selling point for fans at this point in the season with three games remaining, two of them against top 10 opponents? What is the program attempting to sell to its fan base right now?
Well, I think the program has got to try to sell that, one, that I mean, that this team can compete with good teams. You know, I mean, to me, Tennessee has a great chance to win that game at Auburn, if not for the pick six. Now, Auburn is we've seen, is not the, it's not of normal Auburn quality this year, but, like, you don't want to get blown off the field by Florida and Texas A&M, you know? So I think one thing you got to sell is there's some pride in this program. You know, we're going to fight. We're going to compete. But honestly, Joel, if you really, I mean, to me, we go back to the what we were talking about a minute ago. I think it's Harrison Bailey. I mean, I think if you're looking at this from a what can we give fans to be excited about perspective, and that's not the primary coaching mindset. But if you're Philip Fulmer or whoever in the Tennessee athletic department, it's got to be Harrison Bailey. Like we got a freshman QB who's going to be a stud someday. So come watch him grow at the end of the season, and then get excited as you go into 2021 with him as the starter.
Yeah, I think my question piggybacks off of that. And we're talking to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Joe, are the Vols right now at a crossroads with Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, I mean, I guess, like, crossroads, I mean, they're at a critical point. I think it gets to a critical point real quickly in a job like this. It was a critical point after Florida last year. And look, man, there was a lot of, I mean, I know I looked up his buyout, you know, after that game. And obviously he and that team responded. But I will say this. I think that I still find it highly unlikely that Jeremy Pruitt might lose his job this year. I would also not lose, because I think that negativity can multiply on itself, and it's already pretty intense. So I think, I mean, I don't know if crossroads is the right term, but I think it's a very important moment. Even though no one expects Tennessee to beat or come close to beating Florida or Texas A&M, I still think it's important to show competitiveness, passion, energy, desire, and, you know, a team that looks well coached. Offensively, again, I think they've squandered a really talented group of players this year, which is squarely on the coaches.
You've mentioned Vanderbilt a couple of times. I 100% agree with all of your comments around him, especially now that Derek Mason has been fired from Vanderbilt and they're going through the transition. Just how big is that game, and what do you think the future of the Commodores football program has?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, Candace Lee fired Derek Mason after the Missouri game, and you know, I mean, obviously they're in a search area. I think trying to do it quickly with signing day, December 16th. I don't know if they'll get it done by then. But, you know, I wrote a column today at theathletic.com that they should hire Will Healy, who did, I think, an incredible job at Austin Peay, worst program in the country, into an 8-win team in year two. He's doing good things at Charlotte. There's some other candidates out there, Jamie Chadwell, Coastal Carolina, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt guy, who is, of course, Notre Dame's offensive coordinator. But, yeah, I mean, look. You know, Todd Fitch is the interim head coach. I don't know. Like, I don't know that it's, like, more or less, you know, impressive or unimpressive or whatever, like, in terms of Tennessee facing Vanderbilt with an interim coach. I think even if it was Derek Mason, that's a game Tennessee has to win. And you know, it's a game Tennessee lost too much. And, frankly, Derek Mason might have been gone earlier had he not beaten Tennessee three straight years. But, you know, I think the future of the Vanderbilt program could be better if they get any kind of investment in facilities. And, of course, that's been a storyline for a long, long time.
Joe, a few weeks ago, you said the Titans really needed to get Jonathan Joseph off the field. They actually released him that week. Since then, you've seen more Breon Borders, Desmond King. They traded for him from the Chargers. Do you think the defense has gotten better? Do you think it's been a matter of the offense picking up the defense? What have you seen from the Titans since making a couple of these moves a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Joseph certainly was just a problem. He was a minus on that defense. And then same with Vic Beasley. And so now they're both gone. And I think they are getting better. I do. You know, obviously the Colts, you were a little banged up with the offensive line. But I think that was a much better plan and execution from the Titans than in the first game. They pressured Rivers. They were aggressive with the receivers. You mentioned Breon Borders. He's one of the really good stories on this team. Will Compton comes in for Jayon Brown and does a nice job. So I think they're figuring some things out. They stopped the run in that game. That's been kind of the underlying problem, is in a lot of games they really haven't stopped the run well enough. And you know, we'll see. They have another tough challenge with the Browns. I mean, they can run the heck out of the ball, and Jack Conklin is coming into Nissan Stadium to, you know, to pave some holes for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But I do think this defense is inching toward okay. And if this defense is okay, then this team is really, really good because the offense seems to have its mojo back, even with the offensive line injuries.
Well, that's what Nick Saban said last month, right? You just need an okay defense and a dynamic offense, and that's how you play winning football in 2020 and in the future. But, hey, the view from the top looks good. Titans on top of the AFC South. Are they going to be able to close this out, you think?
Well, they're definitely in a great spot now, Heather. And, you know, they've got a schedule. Again, the Browns, big game, 2-8-3 teams. And then, you know, you get some Jaguars in there. You throw in some Lions. You know, you could see some big Derrick Henry games and maybe a chance for them to clinch. But I still think the Colts are a good team, and the Colts are going to get DeForest Buckner back. And I have a feeling this goes deep. But it would be very disappointing at this point if the Titans were not able to close this out and get their first AFC South title since 2008.
All right, Joe, what do you have coming up for everybody on TheAthletic.com this week?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I had, like I said, comment today about Will Healy. I've written a lot in the last few days about Derek Mason and Will Healy and Sarah Fuller and all the things going on at Vanderbilt. So it's coaching search watch now, but obviously – watching carefully this Tennessee-Florida game and what it might tell us about the future. And like we've all talked about, it would be great for everyone to watch. And frankly, I'd like to write about a Harrison Bailey game in which he gets the entire game.
Yeah, I just wasn't rooting for national 3:30 coverage of it. That was a little disappointing. I was hoping they could play that one later in the day, but it is what it is. Hey, Joe, we sure do appreciate you joining us every Tuesday, man. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Always fun. Appreciate it.